making up 80,000.
Well, see, this is
that sounded pretty good.
This is a interview of John Ducham, retired fireman with the Saginaw Fire Department. By way of introduction, my name is Bill Wallace. I worked with John for a period of time. I knew him as a chauffeur out of station, what I know to be station number 9 on Bay Road and near Port Street, in back of the city dairy. John, I know this is repetitious since we've gone through this just a few minutes ago. Put it on the wrong end. This is a rerun. We put the interview on the wrong end of the tape to begin with. So, John, we'll start over again. Let me ask you some of the same questions and we'll get it right this time, hopefully. You retired from the fire department in April of 1965.
That is correct.
And I know from our conversation of just a few minutes ago that you went on the department in 1922. I believe you said it was on your birthday?
That's right.
April
23rd.
April the 23rd of 1922. And that your father had been an assistant chief on the department up until 1919, if I recall.
That is
You said he was hurt at a fire?
Yes, he got hurt at a fire in the 100 block North Water Street. It was Bentley's. He fell 30 feet off a ladder. It was in April of 1919.
Hmm. Well, what was that Bentley company? What kind of a company?
That was a sort of a grocery, and it was right across from Morley's. Actually, I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was something like
dry goods store, perhaps?
No.
Mostly in the grocery line?
No, not necessarily groceries. They sold something like Sears Paper Company. They had papers and baskets and so on. I don't know exactly all they sold.
Okay, well, we were talking a little while ago about your early memories of the fire department. Your dad was on the fire department when you were a boy, ever since you can remember, as you said.
That's right.
And you used to go into where he was stationed. Where was that?
Yeah, he was a captain at number 13 fire station in the corner of Harrison and Van Buren.
This is the one that is out of service now.
That is out of service. There's a high-rise Rosine Apartments.
Is located where it did stand.
Where it did stand, that's yeah. Right.
In later years, that company was known as Station 8.
Station 13 years ago.
Years ago, and then in the more recent times.
It was changed to number 8.
Station 8, I guess we used to call it West Side Headquarters.
That is right.
Yeah. Replaced, those companies moved down to, what's the name of the station on Gratiot? Fortney Street Station?
Fortney, yeah. Fortney Park.
Fortney Park. Back in those days, what I was interested in were the horse rigs. When you, what's one of the earliest memories you have of being in the fire department, coming in to see your dad?
Well, I would say I was 4 or 5 years old. Just as soon as I could follow him, when he came home to dinner, I'd wander. I was quite a boy to wander around, and I got lost a lot of times, and the police would bring me home. One day they found me down at the old post office sitting on a cake ice, and my dad had to come down and get me. And I used to never be contented unless I was a Roman.
Yeah. Where was the post office in?
That was where this hobby shop is in the 100 North, or South Michigan.
Oh, I see. Across from where the courthouse is?
Yeah, Geyer's used to remember. Maybe you remember.
I remember Geyer's.
Well, that's right where Geyer's. That was our West Side Post Office when I was a boy. Yeah. And the police station was right around the corner, right across. Case has a parking lot there. That was a West Side police station.
Oh, yeah.
And they all knew me from my dad, I guess, because I used to follow him around like a duck.
Uh-huh. We were talking about the schedule. Your dad used to put in a lot of days in a row while working.
Yes, he worked 5 days and five nights, and he would be have an hour for dinner, an hour for supper, and an hour for breakfast. And the fifth day, he would be off for 24 hours, providing it wasn't the 4th of July, because them days there was a lot of firecrackers and they had a lot of fires.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was dry season, let them have their days off.
Mm-hmm. How about vacation?
They had 7 days vacation.
Actually, then they'd spend a lot more time in the fire than they'd ever spend at home.
That is correct.
5 days on, and then 1 day off, and 5 days on, and 1 day off, all year long, with only a 7-day vacation.
Yeah.
Week. Yeah. How about Sundays? They were restricted on whether they could go out of town or...
You always had to get permission to go out of town, but when they was working on Sundays, they would have to wear white shirts.
Is that right? You kind of dress them up, huh?
Dress them up on Sundays and holidays, that's correct.
They have a lot of people come by the fire station on Sundays, is this why?
Yes, and they used to have once a week, they would even, their families would get together and they'd have a move the beds in the dormitories upstairs, and then they would have someone come in and play accordion or a piano or something. They'd have a little party there, maybe once a month, sometimes maybe twice a month.
How about the fire stations back then were all self-contained as they are now? They had a kitchen?
No, there was no kitchen. Most of them had wooden floors, and they used to all burn coal. No furnaces.
Just central. It was all in the center heating system. And
well, they have stoves for each side, for the ladder truck side, the engine side, and then where the tower was, they had a little stove in there to dry your hose. It was, and your hot water was a copper 5-10 gallon tank that used to sit on top of your stove, and then had a faucet on. That's where you got your hot water.
I see. So they didn't eat in the stations then. Primarily, they'd always go home. They'd have just that 1 hour.
That's right.
Three times a day.
That's right. There was nothing there to cook with. No gas plates or. Then they mostly had gas lights. There were no electricity in some of the stations.
Mm-hmm. This would be in about 1909, huh?
1910? Well, no, before that. In 1909, number 7s was built. It's in Sherman in Michigan. And they put in a furnace, but it sat on the top floor. That was the only station that had a furnace.
Mm-hmm. We discussed before about some of your earlier recollections and information that you have. I asked you about the big fire that occurred on Saginaw. You told me what the area was, where it started. Would you repeat that?
Yes, as I can recall, it started at what they call the middle grounds, and that was right across from the waterworks. At Hancock and Niagara, just on the east side of the river. And it went down over towards Bristol Street, burnt the city hall, and there was a fire station set where the post office is today. It burnt down.
And it old went, number fives.
Old number fives. And then it went down to Emerson Street. That's along that first railroad track from Holland. And went over to Howard Street, and that's about two blocks east of Jefferson. But it didn't burn any of St. Mary's Hospital. It just seemed to circle around.
Mm-hmm.
And Bay City sent fire equipment here at that fire, and Flint sent some equipment on flat cars.
Where were the railroad tracks? tracks at that particular time? Where did they come into town?
The railroad tracks is just always has been where they are today in my time that I can remember.
They'd come in, say, down there by Potter Street?
They'd come in Potter Street, or they'd come in Hartsell Street there at Genesee, or they could come from Bagginal. It depends where he was coming from.
I see. What was it that was burning that was so bad back in those days on this great fire that we're talking about?
Well, it burned all the people's homes and all the dwellings, and everything was what started at a sawmill.
A sawmill.
Sawmill is what where it started.
Lots of sawdust around.
Sawdust, yes. That was.
How did it spread?
High winds.
Oh, I see.
Low water pressures, no pumpers, just your steamers is all you had.
That's all they had for moving.
You only had, that's right.
Mm-hmm. How we were talking about, of course now we're talking further on back than what you have first-hand knowledge of. How would, if you know, how would they fight a residential fire in those days? Being handicapped by a lack of water a lot of times. They, just go there and do the best they can with cutting it right out with an axe, for instance, or they weren't able to get into a water supply?
Well, they had some 40-gallon tanks. There was a sodium acid, and they would use that, and that was... Fire couldn't be too bad, or that was useless. That'd be for small fires. But
mm-hmm. Wouldn't last very long.
Wouldn't last very long.
Okay, now coming back up to the more recent times when, you came on the department, do you remember the first day that you started and what your duties consisted of?
Yes, I remember very well the first day I worked. We didn't have any fires that day, fortunately. I was on needles, and come time to go to bed, I don't think I slept 10 minutes, though, during the night, scared I would miss the bell, or bell would miss me, one or the other. But fortunately, everything turned out all right. I was a good boy. I did everything the captain told me to do.
Uh-huh. What would that be? We were talking earlier about duties around the firehouse pertaining to, say, the horses. You said something about the driver of the horses. He got a little more money every month.
No, he got a little less. He'd get $2.50 a week, more than a pipeman, and the man that drove the engine, pumper or ladder truck, he would get $5.
So the high-paying chauffeur job was on the motorized equipment.
That is correct. And the man that took care of the horses would have to get up at 5 o'clock, and he'd have to go and feed them and clean the stalls, and then he'd have to go out and drive them around the streets for 2 hours.
They have to be kept in shape and get their exercise.
Exercise, and if you didn't have very many fires or that, and they were getting a little slow, you would trot them and you'd gallop them, but don't dare to use a whip, because the citizens them days were up in arms if you'd ever hit a horse. Or
is
that
there? I thought that, you know, you see pictures of these fellows going to a fire, didn't they carry whips?
Yeah, you always had whips, but you didn't, because it was cruelty to animals. And the horse, the old captains that rode alongside the driver on one of these fire wagons, he watched out for his horses more than he did for his men. They come first.
What kind of horses were they?
They were very good horses, but some of them was... kind of mean. And we had a fellow named Wallace. He was always trying to save the city money, and someone would have a horse that could run like hang, and he didn't...
That'd be a good fire horse.
That'd be
in
a
his
good,
book,
good,
huh?
good fire horse in his book, or if he had some that was flighty, no one else could handle him, then Chief Wallace would get him. And We've had problems with them, but we had some very nice horses. And
I understand that some of them, or could I say all of them, were trained to urinate on command.
That is right.
They were pretty neat.
They were neat. You'd go out there so many times a day. I don't remember. I never drove the horses. All I did was when they was come in from exercise, and when I worked with the horses, I'd have to take some soap and wash that harness, and then I'd have to wax it and polish it and that so that mm-hmm. the harness would be just as shape as a fire engine's is in your time.
Uh-huh. These horses were pretty well taken care of and always curried right up to
curried snuff, right huh? up, that's right. And then at night, if you'd winter time when you'd go out with a or you wouldn't even go out. They'd call you up just like you did when you was in. Put on the chains. The road's a slipper. We got to get through.
Yeah.
You'd get up and you'd go out and put corks, change the corks, put a sharp cork on so the horses could walk on
this.
This
would be on their shoes.
On their shoes, yeah. There's four corks in each shoe.
That's it.
Of course, with you, you don't have no idea what the horses' shoes or corks are. They're about as wide as my finger, and they taper down, and there's four holes. Some had some screwed in, but them wasn't as good as the ones they'd knock out. You'd drive them in, then you could knock
drive them right into this
into this shoe, yeah. Well, not into their feet. They wouldn't go in. They're just into their shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the summertime, their front shoes would be all taken off, and they'd be packed with a nice soft rubber. Mm-hmm. So that the pavements and that wouldn't make their feet sore.
Of course, there was very little pavement back in those days, I imagine.
Very, very few. We used to go out to fires them days, and we'd come back. You'd lay a line of hose to a fire, and you'd come back, and you could make up your mind you'd be an hour or so scrubbing the mud and that off before you could hang it in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Very few pavements in my early days.
Now, on that, when you get an alarm, say for a fire, how long do you think it would take you to get out of the fire barn?
Well, I should know, because in my days, we had fire underwriters would come here, and they would check you with your horses going out, and they would check you with your apparatus. You'd go three blocks on a pumper, and lay 150 feet of hose and set the pump, and you was time from time you get one blow on a gong until the water come out of there. And I can't just recall what the time was.
On the short haul, though, it'd compare favorably against a, say, motorized equipment.
On a short haul, a fast hitching team would beat any engine in my time, two or three blocks from your station. Your horses would always, the minute the bell rang, we use them in bed. When he gets downstairs, the horse would be right there waiting for you.
They got it.
They'd be standing right under their harness, and all you did is swing the collar, and on the collar there was two little snaps, and they always had their bridles on. And I don't know, suppose you know what a bridle is?
Yeah, I know what a bridle is.
Well, on the bottom, there's a bit in their mouth.
Yeah.
Well, they always had that in their mouth only when they was being grain. Mm-hmm. And then they'd unsnap one of them mm-hmm. to have their grain. But when they eat their hay, they always eat it with their
with
a bit. And it's everything.
How about the firemen? Did they have night pants back in those days?
Yes, the firemen always had night pants, the same as they did when you was in.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, and the big joke with the red suspenders, and they don't realize that when they're talking about a red suspendered fireman, they're talking about a fellow with night pants on.
That's right.
You know, it always seems like they think of a fireman as wearing them during the day, like some hayseed farmer, you know.
Well, in our days, when I first came in, there was very few firemen that wore belts. They always wore a black suspender, and we always wore a black sateen shirt. And I just happened to be looking in the paper in the bygone days, and I think it was the year I came in. It was in yesterday's paper, the day before. The firemen has changed from black sateen to a blue polka, a white polka dot shirt.
White polka dot?
Yeah, blue, and they had a white, white dot. I remember that too, but I thought it was, I was in longer than that, but that was in the paper just yesterday, day before.
These were standard uniform then? I mean, everybody had the same?
Yeah, yes, you always had to have a uniform. And, but as far as headgear, when they first, when I first went in, you just had a rubber hat or a lot of more felt hats. Which is,
you mean for firefighting?
For firefighting. And you had to buy all your own equipment, your own rubber goods, boots, or whatever equipment. Mm-hmm.
Headgear for protection wasn't the hard hats that they were today with the wide brim.
That is right. Most of them were a felt hat. Mm-hmm. Some of them were a rubber, just a regular rubber rain hat. Mm-hmm. And I was in one, I can't recall what year it was. I would imagine it possibly it was 24 or maybe 23. That the chief wanted us all to buy helmets. And a lot of fellows had big families, and that was wages wasn't when I was working. It was $22.50 a week, and these helmets them days was either $7 or $9. I don't recall. And those that couldn't afford to buy them, the chief says, "Well, I'll let you work an extra day." Mm-hmm. So we'd work an extra day, and that's how we got our helmets in the fire department.
They weren't the big suppliers that they are today.
No, they don't.
Talking about the early fire stations, and you said about the lack of water at a fire, they did have hydrants when you first came on, didn't they?
Well, your hydrants was very far between. I worked at Station 5 on Harrison and on South Washington. And we've had, of course, you should know the city a little bit. Mm-hmm. When you'd go out Sheridan, and we're from Highland until to Hess, there was no water. And all them streets, Maplewood, Collingwood, Hazelwood, and them, they didn't have any hydrants. And the last hydrant on Weber. And we'd always use two companies. The station I worked at, 5, didn't have a pumper. They had a, years ago when that first come in, that was called the Flying Squad. They would have 6 men. I'm going a little bit, I should have thought of that before. That was the days when the men would go home to meal. Mm-hmm. And the meal hours was from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and 8 to 9. And this station 5 had 6 men on it. They called it the Flying Squad. Maybe they would go 50, 60 miles an hour, and they thought they were really going.
Really tearing it up, huh?
But during them 3 hours, they covered the whole city.
Oh, I see. They covered for all the supper hours.
Right? All the meal hours, yeah.
Meal hours.
And then when it come, they'd have the last hour, and they'd close the station for that hour while they was gone. Well, then when I come in, that was all done with. We had 4 men in all the stations. And when we'd go out to a fire in the south end, station 6 had horses in, and we'd come up from 1200 South Wharton to fire anyways. Hess and Jefferson was pretty much an even run, but anything beyond that, we'd beat the horses there. Mm-hmm. And we lay out all our hose, because the hydrants, you didn't have a hydrant. You only had one hydrant back to the pickle factory.
Mm-hmm. And that was down on Sheridan?
No, it was right back in the pickle driveway. There was nothing on Sheridan that way, or there was nothing east of Sheridan.
Oh, I see. That was all...
There was no water at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to a fire there. I seen 2 houses burn down.
Mm-hmm.
Them days, the first engine company to a fire under old Kreutzberger, they had to lay out a line. and the second company would come and set their engine. They always had a pump set. Mm-hmm. And then the third one would patch on, and the horses would always patch on. I don't know how often we went back there. We laid a full load of horse time and time again back there. We just didn't have the water.
Mm-hmm. You, talking about horses, once you drove them to the fire, what did you do with them?
Well, you'd always try to look up somebody, unless there was a rescue work. We had one incident happen in South Michigan. It was a real cold, bitter night, and we was on sleighs. And there were some people in this building, and the driver jumped right off and went in to rescue work. And the horses, they didn't actually run away. They just kept right on walking, and they wound up way down in Riverside Park. But ordinarily, when the man is supposed to, them horses was more precious than the men to your high officials, your chiefs mm-hmm. and assistants. Mm-hmm. They would take care of their horses more than the men. Mm-hmm. And you always would try to look when you was all people coming around lots in the fire, and you'd pick up someone that would
hold
on to your horses. Mm-hmm. And then the big fires, we would at where they was three or four teams of horses. Well, then one of the drivers would take care of the whole three teams.
I see. Would they unhitch them from the...
No, they would just kind of box them in, you know, and they could watch. So,
I see. But they'd always stay hitched up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you never unhitch them. And, you blanket them in the wintertime. And when you'd go to a fire in the summertime, about and they'd get lathered, well, you'd have to... Taking you lead them up and down the road to cool them off, because they'd be all some days, especially where you grass fires, you have a lot of runs, and then they would be times where you, regardless of what how urgent it was for you to get there, whether it was life or death, you just couldn't help it. The horses might have been running for a half hour and just got back and went again, and you just can't only run them so fast. Sometimes they. It would be just a move.
You mentioned earlier about one fellow got killed by one of the horses.
Yes. Can
you tell me about that?
Yeah, there was this man was out exercising these horses, and he stopped at a meat market and got off and went in to get some meat for some bones for some dog he had. And while he was there, the horses ran away and run into a barbed wire fence down near the old manufacturing company, and got caught in some barbed wire, and they were cut up pretty bad. This one horse was, and they took him out of service and put him in the what we call kind of a hospital or a rest place for him, if he was lame or anything. Mm-hmm. But the lieutenant at the Sioux Fire Station, his name was Collier, John Collier. Knew him very, very well, just like a dad to me. And he was out, and this horse was actually his knee anyway when he had him. He had a watch, and while he was picking his foot up to fix him, he took him and gouged his leg, and gangrene set him like 2 days or 3 days after.
He was how old?
He was in his early 40s.
This would have been what year?
This would be the year after I come in, I'd be in 23.
John, let's talk a little bit about, you said earlier there was four men at the station. At most of the stations, only at there was a west side, do I understand there was more men? Or west side or east side headquarters then?
Yes. When Truthbearer was chief, he always that there had to be six men on his pumper out of headquarters. He had a lot of fires and three and four story buildings, and when you pull up to one of them, you pull up.